everyone, this is Janae DeVica, founder of Cafe Janae. Today I feel so privileged to be interviewing Christian Bates, superfood expert and gourmet raw food chef extraordinaire. Over the last several years, Christian has mastered the art of herbal and superfood elixirs, and he is the co-creator of the Wild Bar, which has been sold nationally for 4 years now. He is also a dynamic speaker, author, and yoga instructor. When I was first introduced to Christian, I was impressed with his in-depth knowledge of herbs, superfoods, and sustainable living. But what was even more impressive was his contagious passion and enthusiasm for teaching others how to improve their health and the health of the planet. I hope you enjoy these pearls of wisdom that Christian has to offer. Hi, Christian.
Hi, Janae.
Well, let's start out. I'd totally love to hear just a little bit of your story. How did you get into this? What do you specialize in? Let's hear all about you.
Well, I have been having the best time with my studies of superfood nutrition for almost 10 years now. In 2001, when I was 15, I just started eating less meat and San Francisco sourdough baguettes because I lived in Marin County in the Bay Area, and I still do, actually. And I was a chubby, younger kid and always wanted to lose weight. And I ended up losing 50 pounds in 6 months just by eating a little bit less meat and a little bit less starchy bread and also biking every weekend. And that really I wasn't into nutrition at the time, but it definitely proved to myself that I can make dramatic results for myself with just a few modifications. And in 2002, I did start learning about factory farms and just the weird things in the food industry with chemicals and additives. And I actually went vegan for a while. And I also started doing a lot of yoga. And in 2003, a year later, I met a friend at Whole Foods who told me about raw food as well as about Bikram yoga, which I got really into and became a teacher of. And I hadn't heard of raw food before, but I had heard about organic food and eating food that's more of a vegan type. And I immediately went raw because I already had kind of some chefing skills under my belt, and it was really easy for me to incorporate that rather quickly. But what had really helped is that for the last year or two before hearing about raw food is that I was already doing some superfoods, like some of the green superfood powders out there. In 2004, I actually got a little off track. I tried natural hygiene, which is a very restrictive type of raw food diet, which says, like, don't eat salt, don't eat oil, don't eat spices, don't eat herbs. I only eat, like, hybridized vegetables and hybridized fruit. And I lost a lot of weight. Like, I got the Skeletor look, which is not in. And then I met David Wolf at the time, and I asked David, hey, what if I ate a natural hygiene diet and superfoods at the same time? And he said, look, you get it, but the natural hygiene thing has got to go. And I eventually learned that the natural hygiene thing is a very agricultural-based diet that has no medicine in it and no real trace nutrients in it. So since 2005, for the last 5 years, I've been completely into a mineral-dense, generally low-glycemic, superfood-rich, and tonic herb-rich diet that has, every few months, I just get, like, to this new plateau of health, and it's extremely exciting for me.
So for the people that are looking into a raw food diet, there's a right and wrong way to do it then?
Yeah. I'd say that when it comes to superfoods, which I'm going to define in just a little bit, it's more about the superfoods rather than some idea of restricting your diets and, you know, having this whole kind of concepts that is supposed to be scientific, but it's really religious. We really want to just start adding stuff in that agrees with us. And this is what this call, I believe, is going to be about, which is figuring out exactly what these foods are.
Awesome. Thank you. So as you were doing your transformation from standard American diet to your raw food, superfood diet, what was the hardest thing for you as you were going through the process? What was the thing that held you back the most?
Gosh, I think that I personally had a generally easy time compared to a lot of people I've seen who have maybe had some backtracks because I have always had this desire to accumulate the knowledge and to take action on those, on the knowledge of nutrition, and really forego some of the old school ideas and really be on the cutting edge and see what is actually working and not listen to people who aren't getting the results that I want. Probably there's a few times where I did listen to people who weren't getting the results I wanted, and then I started getting their results, and that was quite a bit frustrating because, you know, you kind of wish you didn't go down certain routes. So that was probably my biggest thing is just, you know, there's some people who are, like, on it. They're getting healthier all the time. And there's some people who, like, they might be on it, and it might be worth trying their stuff, but really they don't know really what they're talking about.
Great. So it's all result-based for you.
And absolutely.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been getting fabulous results. All right. So why don't you define superfoods for us? What is a superfood?
Well, a superfood is a food that has a therapeutic property or therapeutic properties to it. And also, I want to start to bring in into the definition of superfoods also super herbs or tonic herbs, which we'll get into a little bit later. Herbs are like foods, except you take an extraction of them instead of eating their whole herb. So, for example, almonds are not a superfood because you could eat almonds all day. It's not necessarily going to heal you. It's not necessarily going to reverse mineral deficiencies. It might be kind of a good staple food, I guess. It is a hybridized food that does not have the properties of its wild origin. But, for example, a superfood would be cacao, which it looks like an almond, by the way, when you have a cacao bean as opposed to a processed chocolate. And it actually does have therapeutic nutrients in it. It has a huge amount of magnesium and chromium and zinc, which are like the top mineral deficiencies of the world. So when you start eating something like cacao, you're actually going to get the healing that your body needs. Another thing would be like goji berries, which is a complete protein. It's going to have human growth hormone factors in it. It's going to have amazing spectrums of antioxidants. So when you eat superfoods, you're actually going to be healthier than before you ate the superfood. Whereas if you ate a regular not-so-superfood, it's not going to really change you. It's only giving you calories and a baseline level of nutrition.
All right, excellent. Now, just to clarify on the cacao, I know I've taught some raw food classes and where people had to bring their own ingredients, and you know, and I was going to teach them how to make some raw chocolate or raw cacao products, and they brought the can of Hershey's chocolate powder. So why don't you just explain real quick, maybe a lot of the people on this call will understand this already, but for the people that don't, explain what's the difference between cacao and your package of Hershey's chocolate powder.
Well, cacao is a great example of a superfood for two reasons. One is that the quality counts. And two, it's because it is a very distinguished superfood in terms of, you know, the minerals that it has and how it meets people's needs. If you have Hershey's cacao, Hershey's raw chocolate, which is not raw and is generally processed with alkali and is generally cooked, roasted, probably has a certain microbe content in it, probably has some other additives and pesticides on it. I mean, that's not going to be a healing food. In fact, it could create a cacao or a chocolate allergy. And if someone really is kind of new to chocolate, maybe hasn't had that much chocolate in their life, like maybe you had some candy bars in, you know, as a kid, but never really got into like gourmet chocolate, and you start eating like cooked chocolate like that, you'll probably never get chocolate. In fact, you might just be pushed away from it because as you cook chocolate, some of those stimulating effects in chocolate get exacerbated. But when you have raw chocolate, which you can get in the bean form, you can also buy cacao nibs, you can buy raw cacao powder, you can buy raw cacao paste, and you can buy raw cacao butter, which is all just, you know, taking the raw bean and grinding it up in different ways. Then you're going to get actually something that you feel good from. You have the theobromine content of cacao, which is a little bit stimulating, but also calming to your heart. It is a heart medicine. And you also are going to have the PEA content. PEA is a mood lifter. It's called the love chemical, which is also in just a couple other foods out there, such as blue-green algae. And that just turns on your brain, you know, gets those neurotransmitters running.
All right, so it's the processing of the cacao bean that makes it either a superfood or a non-superfood then.
Absolutely. Okay. Of course, when you go back to as unprocessed as possible with any food, that's going to be for the better. But, of course, there are ways of processing food so that you can keep it for a long time, which is what we've done for eons. If you just dry food properly, keep it properly stored, then it's okay that it's not super fresh.
Awesome. So how do superfoods affect your health? What type of health benefits can you expect when you start introducing superfoods into your diet?
Well, first I want to go over something that's really important in terms of superfoods. Superfoods are everywhere. In fact, there's such a plethora of superfoods, there's probably more superfoods out there than foods that we're already eating. And when you look at what people are eating in the world today, no matter what culture, no matter what ethnic cuisine they're eating, they're all eating the same 13 foods. And most of those foods are certain animal meats and dairies. And like grain, there's also grains, the various grains, barley and wheat. And also somehow on that list is two only healthy foods, which is oranges and coconuts. And when you look at the average, say, a raw food type or a really healthy type diet, they're also eating like maybe that same 20 or 30 foods only. And most of those foods are going to be cultivars, meaning they don't exist in the wild. And they've generally been cultivated, meaning generation after generation, the farmers select a seed where the seed quality is not about nutrition. The quality they're looking for is for production or sweetness. And production and sweetness do not equate to health. They equate to feeding people who like sweets and just having more of a harvest. However, now that there's this idea of certain types of foods which have not been so cultivated and still retain their wild characteristics, most of those foods are now called superfoods, and they are not genetically weak. Like your average like organic lettuce is not a superfood, right? Like you could eat lettuce all day, and it's not necessarily going to reverse any health issues you have. But if you have cacao all day, you have like blue-green algae, maca, these other superfoods that we're going to talk about, you're going to have a lot more fun because they taste so good. They all taste like a little bit like candy. And you're also going to get the trace minerals and the major vitamins and a major virility from them. So in terms of how do they affect health and what are their health benefits, well, the main thing that I think of whenever I think of superfoods and, like, what do I want when I'm about to eat is rejuvenation. And something that actually takes me to a new level of health, like, immediately, just, like, within a few minutes of digesting something, I'm, like, starting to feel so good. Or I felt good and then I feel even better. Or maybe I had, you know, I felt tired and suddenly, boom, everything is modulated in my body. That's the possibility with superfoods. They also dramatically affect the immune system in a modulatory way, meaning they don't lower your immune system. They also, if you have autoimmune conditions, they won't boost your immune system, which would only exacerbate an autoimmune condition. So they can help you bring your immune system into a stronger and more level playing field. Also, superfoods generally have an incredible content in them, such as sulfur, certain minerals, magnesium, that help your joints, your organs, your skin. And some of them have long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, which are going to heal your nervous system, your brain, make you feel smarter. And most superfoods are actually complete protein. So when you hear, like, oh, where do you get your protein? The answer is not, whey protein, meat, supplement powder. It's going to be the superfoods because most of them have all the amino acids, all the essential amino acids. And, of course, when you have those amino acids, you can have a life that, you know, you can start to push away that depression. You can get a much better nervous system health. So if you're feeling a little bit jittery, that can really calm your nerves by starting to hit the superfoods pretty hard.
Well, that's great for people that want to pursue a vegan diet or vegan lifestyle, but I get that all the time. Like, where am I going to get my protein? And you know, we've been kind of brainwashed into thinking it either has to come from animal products or soy products or these powders we get in the health food store. So that's good news to hear that superfoods will provide all of those amino acids necessary so we don't have to worry about our protein content. That's great. Well, I'm sure our listeners are wondering now, like, we need some examples of superfoods. Like, what are some typical superfoods that the average person can start including into their diet?
Well, I have a list here prepared of my favorite superfoods. And first is, of course, cacao. Now, cacao might not agree with everybody right off, because if you came with a cacao allergy, like from kind of the cooked cacao world, when you start having raw cacao, if you're a little bit sensitive to it, you could just actually get raw cacao butter, start putting that on your skin, and, you know, go out and get a suntan with cacao butter all over your skin. That's a lot fun of a way to get into cacao besides eating it. Another super herb, it's not really a super food, right, because we're about to take a plant, in this case it's a mushroom, and extract it, which defines it as an herb, and this is the medicinal mushrooms. Now, medicinal mushrooms are generally the polyporous, that if you walk through a forest, you'll see these mushrooms that stick out of a tree, and on the bottom of them, there's tiny little holes, which is why they're called polypores, many pores. And these mushrooms are not toxic. They are actually medicinal and tonic. Tonic implies that you can have something almost every day with no side effects or without ODing, overdosing on their constituents. You'd have to eat a lot more to actually get to that point. Medicinal mushrooms are the main thing for immunomodulation. They totally turn your immune system into a deluxified army. They dramatically lift your mood. And the reason is because they have a huge amount of polysaccharides. Polysaccharides are the immune system food. Polysaccharides are basically non-starchy, long-chain sugars that are called healing sugars sometimes. And within those carbon contents, there's going to be a lot of hydrogen and a lot of phytonutrients that fit around them, and that's why they're known for healing the immune system. And I have a pretty good list here. I might just list a few more just to really give people this understanding of this plant system called superfoods. The next one is definitely going to have to be noni. Noni is a tropical fruit. It looks like a large berry. It goes from green to yellow. And it also has a lot of polysaccharides, as well as a lot of sulfur. When you first have noni, it might feel or taste a little bit cheesy or oniony to you, when you might expect a sweeter fruit. Some people say it tastes like a rotten shoe. I don't think so. I actually think it tastes pretty good. It just has a spicy sulfur content to it. You can have noni juice, like try to get the unpasteurized organic noni juice. Or if you're in the tropics, you can also just find wildcrafted noni, blend it up, strain it through a strainer, and just start eating noni that way. Algaes, there's the marine...
Oh, can you hang on 1 second? Just to clarify, I know there's several MLM companies that sell noni juice that's supposed to cure everything. What's the difference between the noni juice that you can get, like, at Costco or through the MLM companies and the type of noni juice you're talking about? Is it the same or is it different?
You know, a lot of these noni products are, of course, going to be lower quality. I'm not that familiar with all the brands out there. I'm going to guess that most of the brands out there are pasteurized and perhaps are more of an aged noni wine, which could have actually lost some of its chemical constituents compared to a much more freshly pressed noni juice that is then preserved with, say, colloidal metals and then remains unpasteurized. But still, I think the juice will get you going. I mean, when you have noni, you'll really feel like I'm ready to just, you know, pummel the beach waves and, you know, somersault through something. Like, noni gives me a feeling of audacity. Like, I'm just going to run through the forest right now. That's the kind of energy I get from noni. But also kind of gives you that calm, like, heartfelt energy that is really makes food, you know, makes being a foodie really fun. I would probably, if someone doesn't have noni that's growing near them, which is most of us, because noni doesn't grow in subtropical or temperate environments, noni usually grows out of volcanic rock in the tropics, like in Hawaii. It grows all over the actual volcanic, fresh volcanic rock out of the cracks. It's just amazing. Then I would actually go ahead and get the Noni Land Noni Powder, which I think is only on sunfood.com right now. And that noni happens to be grown in really great amended soils by David Wolf.
Great, thank you. All right, you can carry on. Sorry for the interruption.
All right, I'll be a little bit more brief with these other superfoods. We have the algaes, such as spirulina, chlorella, blue-green algae, and also in that category is the phytoplanktons, marine phytoplankton. And those are small little organisms that taste kind of cheesy, proteiny, and are so good. They're so fun to eat. I mean, they have long-chain omega-3 fatty acids in them. They have amazing growth factors in them. Another one is shilajit, which also kind of falls into the super herb, superfood category. And shilajit is a resin that comes out of Himalayan rock as a black paste. It's actually pressed ancient fulvic acids, into a paste. And when you eat that, it tastes like instant coffee. And it has not only ability to deliver into your body a huge spectrum of minerals, but the fulvic acid content is extremely detoxifying at the same time, which really makes it one of my favorite foods, where on one hand, it's giving you nutrition, and on the other hand, it's very powerfully cleansing you of heavy metals, volatile organic compounds, as well as radioactive waste and all this kind of stuff that we've all been exposed to as a kid. I mean, we might think, oh, you know, I've lived a pretty moderate life. I haven't gone to, you know, the dump and exposed myself to too many things. Even if we haven't, like, painted using regular old paint and inhaled a lot of stuff, we've been on the road. We've been on the earth, which has had countless radioactive wastes as well as bombs dropped. So it's all in the air. And we've also touched things that have all kinds of aluminum and mercury. If we have any metal in our teeth, not gold, but actual that silver stuff that has mercury in it, that is going to be constantly leaching mercury into your body. And the shilajit is a great and fun thing that you can eat right away. It's going to start to pull that stuff out. So it's, on one hand, we're looking at superfoods from a really, like, fun point of view where it's all the best ever. And this stuff is fun. We're going to have a great time. And on the other hand, we have to honor that, hey, there's a lot of toxicity out there, and we must be very diligent with how we handle that so that that stuff does not lead to diseases, that does not lead to a shortening of our life. And superfoods really are the longevity food and the food that has that people have said have healed themselves in all kinds of ways. Next big category, bee products. That would be like honey, good honey, not honey that's like regular honey you buy at Safeway, like local honey. And also bee pollen, if you're not allergic to it. I'm actually allergic to bee pollen, unfortunately. I've tried to have, like, little bits of bee pollen and then try to adapt myself to it. But the main bee product that I really like is going to be the royal jelly, which is like the honey for the queen bee only. So what bees do is they take the pollen from the flowers, bring it back to their hive, then they metabolize that pollen into basically honey, propolis, wax, as well as the royal jelly. And the royal jelly is a desugarized, highly mineralized honey that goes to the queen so that queen can have that virility, that stamina to continue to be extra large and produce a lot of larvae. And you can get the royal jelly from immortalityalchemy.com. I want to definitely talk more about these superfoods, but why don't we kind of go back to some of them after we talk a little bit more about defining the superfoods.
Okay. Great. So these superfoods, why do they work? How do they work? I know you've talked about that, you know, they're wild and they haven't been hybridized. What do they do to you? How do they affect the biochemistry of your body to help you to reverse disease or prevent disease, help you feel better?
Well,
I know you talked about, you know, how they have a cleansing effect, how they also have a building effect. Is there anything else that they do in comparison with your regular foods that aren't superfoods?
Well, regular foods are basically not going to affect your genetics. They're not going to necessarily give you 92 minerals. They're not necessarily going to work on your immune system. But the superfoods, when you have a nice spectrum of them, they're going to do that to you in terms of giving you the 92 minerals. And we need all of those minerals in our body because they affect different enzymes. And in trace amounts, they are very required for our cellular structure, as well as some of the major minerals like sulfur that you could get from like aloe vera. That sulfur is very important for joint health. So superfoods are the noble foods. If we were to consider the human being as this noble being that is on planet Earth right now, if we were to look at how we behave right now, we're not necessarily acting noble by eating grain all day and processed food all day. What we want to do is somehow eat so that we're always giving back to the earth. And superfoods are really, you generally have to be grown in more of a permaculture method where they are not stripping the land at all. They are actually giving back. So, for example, a cacao forest. A cacao forest is always part of other plants. You can't really grow cacao in a plantation where you weed everything and only let cacao go. Cacao is generally in a forest where you have like some of the shorter plants, some of the taller plants, some of the taller trees rather. And it's when you eat cacao, you're basically saving the rainforest. And that holds true for a lot of these superfoods, or could hold true if we did them more right. For example, the bee products. Without bees, all the flowers, all the pollinating, none of that stuff would happen. So it's a really great way of connecting to the earth with superfoods, as is gardening, as is organic gardening, as is wild food. A lot of the superfoods can be a wild food that you could go wild, such as sea vegetables on the beach. And also we can start to grow superfoods in our garden nowadays. Instead of just like lettuce and parsley, like we can start to grow aloe vera. We can grow trees that have, you know, amazing berries, and then we can grow bushes like goji berries. We can also grow medicinal mushrooms from stumps if we have the spore starters.
Wow, that's an amazing new viewpoint of how to get superfoods into your diet and still maintain a sustainable lifestyle. That's awesome. Now, there's a lot of people that get into this healthy lifestyle and they think that they need supplements. And they go and they get nutritional supplements from the health food store and they think they're doing their body a favor by supplementing their whatever diet that they're using at that time with supplements. What's the difference between traditional supplements and supplementing with superfoods?
Superfoods are real. They have nutrients that are in a bioavailable form, and they have a lot of nutrients that are in a bioavailable form. Traditional supplements are made in a factory somewhere and have nothing to do with health consciousness. They're really just a chemical industry, just like a chemical agricultural industry, where they're just blasting plantations with like a couple synthetic minerals that have a short-term effect. This is where we connect with nature again, and we really want to actually have the food first, right? We want to go with the food first, and then maybe, you know, we could do a little bit of mineral supplements here and there, although a lot of mineral supplements are very toxic, such as calcium carbonates, or any calcium that you can get that is in a synthetic form, not in a bioavailable form, such as in green vegetables. That calcium is going to be loaded with actual bacteria that created the calcium, which are parasites in your body, so you definitely want to get off calcium. Calcium gums up your body. It's like, it is chalk. Calcium carbonate is chalk. And most foods out there, like, are going to have calcium carbonate in them because, on one hand, it's like, ooh, calcium, yes. And on the other hand, there's certain mandates that require you put calcium carbonate in, say, a milk, whether it's a cow milk or whether it is a nut milk that you can buy at natural food stores. A lot of them are going to have calcium. And that's really just an industry thing, and it's really has no merit to building bone.
So what's a comparison, like how much calcium is your body getting if you're taking a calcium supplement versus if you're taking a superfood that has a high calcium content in it? And maybe what's an example of a superfood that has a high calcium content?
Well, if we're going to talk about calcium, I need to talk about the paradigm of calcium. And everybody listening to this needs to kind of let down maybe a previous paradigm, because we've all grown up with calcium, 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 drink your milk, build your bones, this whole thing. Calcium equals the calcium in your body. When in fact, it's a much more complex thing from going from food to your body's matrix. When you have calcium in vegetables, which is a healthy calcium, you are actually going to be nurturing your body in a way that calms your nervous system and makes you a little bit more calm. But that calcium hardly goes into your bones. When you have magnesium, when you have phosphorus, when you have a few other things like silica, that's going to actually be what builds your bones. And in your body, you have enzymes that have now been proven to shift up atom, an element, to another element, to shift, say, silica into calcium. And we might be like, no, that's a nuclear reaction. You can't do that. But actually, enzymes can. It's just a phenomenal thing that has really been suppressed in its study. But when we're eating food, we may wish to back off on the old school food pyramid, get your basic spectrum, bottle of spectrum synthetic minerals, and we want to go to something that's a little bit more shamanic, a little bit more in an ancient medicine system, such as Chinese herbology, Amazonian herbology, ancient American and European folk, as well as Indian Ayurvedic. All of these systems have superfoods and super herbs in them, and address them not by saying, oh, this has this technical chemical in them, but in ways that are just a little bit more make sense to our more natural side.
Excellent. And okay, do you want to talk really quick about what type of doses? I know you mentioned some typical superfoods that you like to use. What type of doses do people need before they start feeling the effects? Like feeling more energized, feeling stronger, or maybe a therapeutic effect of helping them to heal from whatever health problems they have?
Well, of course, dosage is everything, right? If everybody's different, so some people need a little bit of cacao, some people need a lot of cacao. Some people need just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Like, nowadays when I make my smoothie, I usually make a smoothie once a day. I can't put a huge dose of everything in there. It won't fit. I won't be able to eat it. If I don't have a big enough blender pitcher, it only goes to 64 ounces. But if you put a little bit of everything, then that's really the most important thing to do. Then you can also ramp up the dosage of certain things like medicinal mushrooms to get more of a kickstart to your health. For example, if someone has some pretty symptomatic candida issues or certain immunological things, they will want to ramp up the medicinal mushrooms, because if you only have like one capsule twice a day forever, it's not really going to do anything. But if you're doing capsules of medicinal mushrooms and you had maybe five capsules five times a day, that's where you're going to start to notice the benefits. Every food is different. I mean, the real method of figuring out the whole superfood equation, figuring out your nutrition equation, cracking your nutrition code, is to just start adding things in. You got to immerse yourself in the knowledge, such as websites, such as store, like online stores, such as going to YouTube and looking at David Wolf, and you got to really get familiar with how these foods kind of work, and at the same time start adding things in. Maybe you try two or three superfoods per week. You go to like your raw food section at Whole Foods, or you just start looking around at some natural food store, and you start trying a little bit of this, you try a little bit of that, and you stick with what you like. And if something doesn't agree with you, hey, you just let it go. Maybe you try it again later. Maybe it will never work with you. We don't know. I can't say. And figure out that just by trying superfoods, you're activating the genius in you. You're activating your nervous system. You're feeding your brain. Remember in the what I consider a genius movie, The Matrix, where Morpheus offers Neo the blue pill or the red pill? Now, the blue pill would allow Neo to wake up in his bed the next day and forget everything he had just learned. And the red pill will allow him to go deeper down the rabbit hole, because Neo is the main character. If you remember, Matrix was 10 years ago, so if you haven't seen that movie in a while, I recommend actually watching it again. It's just an awesome film. And by taking the red pill, which is what Neo took, he basically was able to figure out this whole Matrix thing. And superfoods are the red pill. So if you start increasing the percentage of your diet, which is superfoods, say you start at 5%, and then 10%, and then at least 25% or much higher, then you'll no longer be able to do what you don't want to do anymore. Because the only way you started to get into your daily grind in the first place was through donuts and chemicalized coffee, or if you've been off that stuff for a while, it's through the residualness of those substances. Because junk foods are the antithesis of superfoods. Superfoods help you get smarter, healthier, and they really like key into yourself, your mission. They're inspiring in terms of how they affect your being. I mean, I really believe that, and that's my experience, and that's been my experience for the last 10 years, is that superfoods actually are what makes the "you are what you eat" concept apparent. Like, we aren't, you know, when we look at our body, and let's say we came from a standard American diet, I mean, we don't look like standard American diet, we look like a body. But when you start eating superfoods, and you start to have, like, better skin, and you start to, your spine opens up, your chest, your musculature starts to open up, then you can really say, you know what, I'm starting to get on these wild virility-type qualities that you can kind of see in superfoods. Like, if you look at a giant aloe vera plant with the spikes on it that are all symmetrical. They look like, you know, like a computer program took one of those fractals and designed the structure of aloe vera. Or like a really healthy looking, goji berry bush where just the leaves spectrum out and you see these bright berries. And that's the kind of thing we want. This is the, Chinese medicine is called the doctrine of signatures, where a food does to you what it looks like. Walnuts look like a brain. They help your brain. Bright colored food is bright, therefore they help your eyes. All these foods will have different looks, and then if you're kind of clever and have an imagination, which is what we should all have, then you can kind of guess what they're going to do for you.
Yeah, like beets, it looks like a heart. A beet looks like a heart, and it helps your heart, and it also helps your blood circulation. Yeah.
Totally.
Great stuff. And it sounds like in my therapeutic nutrition classes I teach, intuitive eating is a huge component of that. And it kind of sounds like that's what you were talking about when you were talking about the doses. So starting out with something that you think might work, and then really paying attention to how your body reacts to it, how you feel after you take it, and then realizing that the dose you take today might not be the same dose that you need tomorrow. And it's all about listening to your body and letting your body tell you what you need and what's going to help you the most, instead of looking on the back of the, you know, looking at the label and just following what the label tells you to take. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Definitely. I'd say a really good example of figuring out what your needs are would be spirulina. Mm-hmm. I put spirulina on my salad, like, every time. Like, I can't really have a spirulina salad without spirulina these days. It just kind of seems like, unless I put a lot of, like, amazing, dark, kind of wildcrafted greens that I got from, say, the farmer's market or that I got from my property, unless I got a lot of those in there, and I'm going to want to put spirulina on there. And spirulina is a very high protein food, meaning if someone loves protein, they just thrive on protein powders, they work out, they're probably going to want a lot of spirulina, and it's going to be great for them. If someone, I'm a little bit sensitive to protein. As I said, I was really sensitive to bee pollen. Bee pollen is also a really high protein food. And I'm kind of a medium protein person where I need some protein. I can't just survive off oils and carbohydrates. But if I have too much, I feel a little bit overly stimulated. So for someone, they might have just, I don't know, a teaspoon of spirulina powder. Or they might be able to dump 2 to 3 tablespoons of spirulina powder on their salad. You're going to have to play around with that yourself.
Yeah. Definitely intuitive eating, it's a skill that you need to learn, and definitely will help you to improve your health really quickly if you learn how to listen to your body and what your body needs. Now, I read one of your articles about green drinks and the alkalizing property of green drinks and how maybe that's not going to be enough. You know, you need to incorporate superfoods in with your green drinks and your regular nutrient-dense foods. Can you talk to us about maybe why just focusing on nutrient-dense foods is not enough, and how you can improve the function of your body by using superfoods?
Well, yeah, I recently wrote a blog post on my blog, which we'll talk about at the end of this interview, what my blog's about. And I talked about how there's green juice and there's elixirs. And green juice is like taking celery and cucumber and lemon and other green vegetables and juicing them through a juicer and drinking that. And some people do that a little bit. Some people do that hardcore. I used to do that hardcore. I had like 1 to 2 to 3 quarts of green juice daily because I wanted to get all those alkaline minerals in my body. And I had a lot of fun with it at first. And then over a couple years of doing that or so, I hit a wall. I hit an alkalosis where I was just doing too many alkaline minerals, because green vegetables are like the number one alkaline mineral source. Herbs, tonic herbs can also be a source of alkaline minerals, especially. And so my body, instead of being acidic or instead of having a neutral pH, it went into a temporary alkalosis whenever I would have green juice. It would make me spacey. And when you think of alkaloids, think of them on one hand as a good thing. You want alkaline minerals such as calcium and magnesium and all these things to balance your blood and everything. On the other hand, once you have too many alkaloids, they start acting like a drug. Most drugs are alkaloids, such as marijuana. If you smoke marijuana, you're going to have that alkaline effect, and it actually makes you a little bit spacey instead of grounded, which is where you want to be in that neutral pH zone. So I had to back off on green juice and start doing things that weren't so alkaline, although they were mineral dense, and that would be elixirs. And elixirs are basically superfood smoothies, whether they're a denser superfood smoothie with a lot of oil and nut milk in it, or a lighter superfood smoothie where it doesn't really have a caloric content. It's just more like putting like some vitamin C berries in, like amla berry, and a little sweetener like stevia, and some aloe vera, blending that up with spring water and drinking that.
Now, where do you mentioned herb tonics and herb elixirs. Where do herbs fit in with superfoods?
Herbs are really important with superfoods. In fact, they can be gateways to each other. Some people might be in a standard American diet, then they get into Chinese herbs, or they get into European folk herbs, and they start realizing, hey, these herbs have something to it. I'm having like some great joint health effects. I'm feeling like my skin's taking a response to these herbs. And then they might get into superfoods from there. Or some people get into superfoods like me, and then I start realizing, oh my gosh, there's this whole herbological tens of thousands of herbs systems on the planet right now. And we don't have to be on 10,000 herbs, but we can definitely be on the top herbs of like each region. So you pick the next five top herbs from China, you pick the five herbs from America, you start playing around with those, and then you also are currently having like the top 5 or 10 superfoods. That's a really winning combination. And again, superfoods are generally something that you can eat the whole food of because it's a food. And super herbs are something that you have to generally extract. For example, if you took, say, podarco bark, which is a major top Amazonian herb. It is the bark of the podarco tree, and you can't eat it. You could probably eat a little bit of it fresh, but once it's dried, it's like pure fiber. But when you put it into a decoction or a hot tea, then the amazing nutrients, the immunological nutrients that come out of that are then in the water, and then, of course, you drink the tea. Of course, there's also dried extract powders of herbs, which are widely available as well.
So herbs are superfoods, or are herbs in a category by themselves that you want to use alongside a superfood?
Most herbs are not superfoods. There's only a few herbs really out there, maybe 30, that are tonic herbs, that we know of at least, that are popular. All the other herbs are not really in the category of super. They're not necessarily going to heal you. They might be more something to treat symptoms, which we don't really need to do that anymore. We want to go from wherever our health is to healthier. We don't really want to just ramp up our immune system because we have a cold, right? We want to modulate our immune system every day so that getting a cold becomes out of the question. Medicinal mushrooms, Romania, let's see, we got Euchomia bark. These are, for example, Chinese herbs that we want to start adding in right away. And what I do is make a tea and then use that tea as the water in my nut milk, where I take some nuts and seeds like Brazil nuts, which are kind of a superfood. Brazil nut has an extraordinary amount of selenium. Selenium is extraordinarily deficient in most of the topsoil. And then blend that up, strain it through a nut milk bag. Then that's my nut milk. Then I'll blend that with some sweeteners, some cacao, and some other superfoods like aloe vera. And then I have the tastiest raw superfoodized, super tonic, herbized drink, and I'm getting all my nutrition at once. Then it also tastes good. I mean, it tastes like, you know, Nestle's Quick. It tastes really good.
Sounds fabulous. Sounds amazing. Now, with your superfoods, I know with herbs, sometimes you have to worry about the dose because some herbs, if you take too much, you can get a toxic reaction. Do you have to worry about that? And with superfoods, I know you mentioned that most of them are tonic, meaning you can take as much as you want without adverse reactions. Are there any superfoods that you need to worry about adverse reactions?
Generally, I would say no. In other words, superfoods have never killed anybody. Superfoods have really only been our allies this whole time on planet Earth. However, yeah, you can definitely eat too much of anything. Most superfoods, you're going to have an aliaesthetic response. An aliaesthetic response is based on the chemical and mineral content of a food where eventually your body says, I've had enough. Or if you tried to have more, your body would either feel weird, like it would go into alkalosis, or the food might start to get bitter or burn your tongue. And that's good. That's really good news because, like, for example, refined wheat flour, that's not going to have an allostatic response because there's not a mineral content in there to turn that on your body. That's why people will overeat starches. And their body's looking for minerals to get satiated by. Meanwhile, we're having too many calories and too much of the bad kind of denatured cooked stuff that's within that flour. So definitely have to defer to the allostatic response. I would generally, you know, try not to have too much chocolate and try to have a blend of superfoods together if you can, or maybe just try like three together, because then you will get that I've had enough thing. For example, a lot of us are getting into the whole raw chocolate thing. I'm totally into it. I totally support it, actually. But if we combine the chocolate, the raw chocolate, with herbs, with other superfoods, then on one hand, those herbs are going to help prevent us from ODing on chocolate, which you can because you'll get too stimulated. It kind of messes with your neurotransmitters. You get stoned. As well as the cacao ends up being a delivery method for those herbs because cacao is an MAOI, which an MAOI is an inhibitor of the breakdown of nutrients in your body in an appropriate fashion. Where, let's say you have all these, you know, amino acids in your brain, and your body is trying to metabolize them appropriately, very rapidly. But if you have an MAOI going on, such as raw chocolate, then that breakdown process is going to be slowed down a little bit, so that there's a higher uptake, so that those essential nutrients are going to have a little bit longer time to plug into their receptor sites and go into your cells. And therefore, you get more out of what you're already eating. Another quick note on superfoods is that at the heart of superfoods, it's really about having more by eating less, right? Like the way we eat, the way the standard American, standard world really diet eats is that you have junk food, main, you know, starchy foods, meaty foods, and you have to eat a lot of them to get nutrition. There's actually a food abundance on the earth right now. There's too much food, but it's not the right food. However, when you have superfoods, you're getting magnitudes more nutrition, and then you don't have to eat as much. In fact, with superfoods, what I've noticed is that I don't need as many calories because I'm getting energy from the actual non-caloric nutrition. And that's a really cool idea. In fact, sometimes I won't have any caloric thing for breakfast, right? I'll have kind of an elixir thing, and I'll have some tonic herb thing, and my body just does not want any fat, protein, or carbs at the time. It just wants the nutrition. It just wants, like, the water, the spring water. And then later on, my body's going to be like, okay, we got to get satiated with more caloric dense superfoods and as well as raw foods and wild foods that I eat.
Yeah, I found that as I was making my transition from the standard American diet to a raw foods and superfoods diet, I totally noticed that when I was on the standard American diet, I was eating like 4,000, up to 4,000 calories a day sometimes, and I'd still not be satiated. I'd still be hungry and feeling like I just needed something else, having lots of cravings. And as I transformed and moved over to the raw food superfood diet, I find that I eat probably like a fourth, maybe a third or a fourth of what I used to eat as far as volume and calories, and I feel satiated all day, and I feel more energetic, and I don't have those cravings like, you know, I need more food, I need to keep eating until I feel satiated. That's totally gone, and I think it's amazing that you can, like you said, eat a lot less but get a lot more out of the small amount you're eating.
That's a really interesting thing because it comes to the point where instead of not having enough nutrition, just based on not knowing what to eat, we go to the point where we have such an abundance of nutrition that we wish we could fit more into our stomach or into our body's metabolism, but we've get into that OD point. Which is really interesting because every day I try to do something therapeutic, like I'll have like a reasonable amount of some things, but then I'll try to do something like have a therapeutic amount of aloe vera. But it's like, there's only so much aloe vera I can eat because this stuff is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do have, when you do sometimes, I mean, you don't have to do it all the time, but if you do start to play with mega dosing, not all the time, because it's probably better to stay balanced most of the time. But if you can mega dose, say, aloe vera while maintaining a really like balanced, comfortable way of eating, you're going to get a huge amount of sulfur and polysaccharides, which will then rejuvenate you at a more accelerated rate.
Yeah, I love how that works. Actually, yes, just yesterday I made a superfood smoothie that you recommended on your website, and I made the normal amount that I would usually. I made my 64-ounce blender, filled it up about halfway, and that's how much smoothie I usually do for the day. And I could only do half of it, and my body was totally satiated just because the nutrient content was so high, and it was amazing. Mega dose in a smoothie. It was great. So for beginners out there, people that haven't introduced superfoods into their diets and who are just learning about this, what are your top suggestions for people that just want to get started incorporating superfoods into their lifestyle? How can a beginner start out?
I have a top 5 list for this.
Awesome.
1, immerse yourself in the knowledge. You're doing it right now, listening to interviews like this. I recommend going to websites such as thebestdayever.com or online stores, online raw food stores like sunfood.com, rawguru.com, what else we got, therawfoodworld.com, and start looking at what they offer in terms of their food, browsing what they have, and really getting familiar with what's on the market. Also, they'll probably have some information-type products on their website as well. Definitely recommend just wholeheartedly researching David Wolf's information. He has a plethora of information, plethora of videos on YouTube now. If you just spent like an hour a day for the next month on YouTube looking at David Wolf videos, you're probably going to have such an accelerated learning curve. You'll be able, you're no longer going to be like a beginner student. You're going to be able to be an expert and to be able to share this with people. Just bear in mind that there are techniques with sharing nutrition with people, and that's definitely sharing it with people who want to hear about nutrition, because you can like change someone's religion and lifestyle and everything, but changing their diet is often the hardest thing. So it's all about really working on yourself. 2 is it's all about adding things in. You just got to try stuff. And then that way, if you're trying to like really switch up your diet, maybe you have some addictions, you will not have that that pain-pleasure thing with resisting foods by just adding things in. Because by adding things in, you're automatically displacing the stuff that no longer serves you without the willpower. Because you can only eat so much per day anyway. So if you just start adding more and more superfoods, more and more raw foods, more and more, you know, raw oils like olive oil, then eventually the stuff that no longer serves you is going to be moved to a lower and lower percentage into your diet, and it's going to dissolve away, and then nutrition just becomes a fun path for you, because you'll also start to get the results you're looking for if you get a little bit extra clever with superfoods as well. And you will. Like, if you're just beginning, just by trying the superfoods teach you. They teach your body. Genius is activated. Okay, the 3 is to get on the top 5 superfoods. There's about 20 major superfoods on the scene right now that I really love. But if I were to pick 5, 1 would be medicinal mushrooms, like reishi mushroom and chaga mushroom extract. 2 would be cacao, or cacao butter if you're sensitive to chocolate. 3 would be noni, like noni powder, or noni, or like a raw, unpasteurized, organic noni juice. Aloe vera, which when you get aloe vera, you don't necessarily want to get the small little aloe vera leaves. You want to buy big aloe vera leaves, which you can get from sunfood.com, and you slice off the green outer part. You don't want to eat that. It'll totally not feel good in your stomach. You just want to eat the inner clear flesh. You blend a little bit of that, say, anywhere between a tablespoon and 4 tablespoons. You could work your way up a lot more, but if you're sensitive to the bitterness of the sulfur content of aloe vera, you might not want to have that much. And you put that in a smoothie you're already making. Then you just triple the nutrition content of that smoothie. And 5 would be a green powder, like Vitaminal Green. That's definitely my favorite. It's loaded with enzymes, a huge plethora of wild greens, and certain phytonutrients. It's as well as probiotics. It's got the most amazing probiotic content. That would be definitely my top 5, like superfood. And if you add another 5, go for vitamin C berries like amla berry, goji berry, hemp seeds, and definitely the algaes like blue-green algae. Okay, number 4, you got to eat superfoods.
Really quick before you go to number 4, with the aloe vera, is it important to eat it fresh or can you use the bottled aloe vera that you get in your health food store?
The bottled aloe vera is okay, but the enzyme constituents have been broken down. There is a certain monoatomic mineral content in aloe vera that is really good for your immune system that breaks down through oxidation, and all the bottled aloe vera products are oxidized. So when you do fresh aloe vera, that's the aloe that nourishes you. That's the aloe that can heal a sunburn, whereas the bottled aloe does not do nearly as much for a sunburn nor for your internal applications.
Okay, thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, so it's definitely worth ordering fresh aloe or finding it locally. Okay, number 4 is to eat superfood with every meal. I love spirulina on my salad or spirulina on anything you eat. I mean, if you're eating mashed potatoes, put spirulina on those mashed potatoes. It's going to taste good. It tastes cheesy in a good way. You can have cacao with every dessert. Even if you're eating a regular old ice cream, start putting cacao powder with that raw cacao powder. And definitely aloe vera in every smoothie. And the list goes on. You can start eating, you know, medicinal mushrooms, putting that in your smoothie.
Now, you keep mentioning putting spirulina on your salad. How does that work? Doesn't that come in a powder?
Yeah. So you sprinkle it on.
Okay.
And then you mix it in. And then it makes your salad very green. And you'll have maybe a green mustache if you eat it. But it's okay. The green mustache is in. That
all
looks different.
Right.
Okay, 5 is to figure out what you like or excel in with the topic of health or superfoods, because that has something to do with why you're here. There's something about nutrition and your life's mission and your vision that you have that is completely related, right? Like, it's very, on one hand, it's very obvious, without our health, you know, we can't enjoy anything, right? Without our health, wealth means nothing. And without our health, a really, like, strong nervous system, brain-activated health, then the genius that we have inside all of us won't really be activated without that health, without those superfood nutrients going in and activating us. So if you can figure out how to relate your lifestyle or your mission, your passion, or your profession with superfoods, That is probably, maybe, arguably, the most important thing. Otherwise, superfoods might not appeal to you at all. It might not be a relatable thing. You might not even start. But if you can figure out that there's something about superfoods and there's something about who you are, your charisma that you have, what you can teach people, then you definitely are going to have a winning combination. I mean, it could be anything. You could be a mom who figures out how to make their child healthy or their other children healthy with superfoods. You could be, I don't know, a metal factory worker owner, business owner who, you know, they have you, you're already feeding your employees lunch, like in the factory. You start adding superfoods to that, you change people's lives. There's just countless ways to do superfoods. If you're a gardener, it's time to start growing superfoods from seed. If you just buy goji berries, you don't have to buy goji berry seeds. You can buy goji berries, and there's so many seeds in those goji berries, it's going to be way more cost-effective than buying goji berry seeds. You just take those seeds and plant little starters indoors and then move those starters once they've grown big into your garden. It's going to be great.
Or it can even be as easy as, you know, sharing what you're doing with everybody. I know that when, you know, even when I go to like a family potluck or something, I'll bring raw foods or superfoods with me, and that'll get people asking questions, and then I'm educating my family as well as, you know, giving them a taste of something, and they're like, wow, that is fabulous, it's so delicious. They love the taste of it, and then I educate them about what it's going to do for their bodies, and then they go and spread the message to their friends, and, you know, so it can even be as easy as just, you know, sharing what you're eating with other people or sharing what you're doing with other people, and that could help incorporate it into your life as well.
Superfood is in, right? It's very popular. It's getting into mainstream magazines. It's getting on, it's all over the internet, but it's also on TV. Don't be afraid to share your healthy drinks or gourmet meals or whatever you're into. Let's say you got a mason jar full of cacao shake and you're drinking it and someone's like, hey, what is that? Definitely don't say, oh, it's just my drink. Don't worry about it. Definitely be like, what? You haven't had this? This is the best ever. Try some. Like, that's really the attitude I like to have. And they'll immediately respect you, especially if someone that you're talking to about food is a little bit more like, yeah, but you're never going to be able to have tacos again, you know, if you switch your diet around. No, you're like, dude, you can make raw food, superfood tacos, and really be excited, and then it'll be a lot easier. There won't be any weird judgment. Also, if you're excited about what you eat, it might also just relieve you of any judgment, which other people pick up on if someone's eating, like, some atrocious meal. Definitely, it's really good to have that relationship harmony with your food so that you don't get into any, like, superfood religion.
And it totally changes the paradigm of food, too. I think right now the dieting paradigm of the America that wants to lose weight is, like, you know, health food has to be tasteless, or you have to feel deprived, or you have to give up all the stuff you really like. And I think being excited about your superfoods really helps to change that paradigm, because people see that you're like, this is awesome, and then they taste what you have, and then they're like, why would we ever go back to that junk food we've been eating before when we can eat this, and it tastes fabulous, makes you feel great, and then plus you're excited about it. It helps to change the whole paradigm of health food has to be gross or hard or expensive or unsatisfying. It gets people into the emotion of eating healthy and the emotion of changing their bodies.
Definitely. I mean, it's so amazing that we bought into this idea that health food does not taste good or has a bad texture. And now we find that the healthiest food are the tastiest, have the most flavors, and can have the best textures and the best appearance, even if they're green sometimes. That is convincing to myself. You know, now when I look at some of the foods I used to like sourdough baguettes, my addiction to those as a child, now I look at those and be like, you could make a good cardboard box out of that stuff. Like, I definitely feel that when you see the vibrant colors coming off superfoods, when you start tasting the very most amazing, deeply rich flavors that come off superfoods, and just keep trying them, so it's not just a heady thing. You got to try the stuff. They're not going to work unless you're eating them. What's the expression? It's in the pudding. Well, it's in the superfood pudding now.
Yep. And the comment I get most often is, you know, if it's this fabulous, why would I eat any other way? You know, why are people doing it any other way? And that's seriously the way you feel once you get hooked on. The fabulous flavors of superfoods. Now, are you done with your top five list?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you have any books, websites, articles, or blogs that you recommend for people that want to learn more? I know you mentioned David Wolf. Do you have anything else that you would recommend for people looking for more information?
Well, I would love to tell everybody about my website, which is christianbates.com, christianbates. That's my blogging website. I blog all the time, and I'm also going to start to incorporate videos and just create a really great resource for people there. My girlfriend, Beth Ann Wanamaker, her website, her blog site is ediblegoddess.com. She's been doing this in terms of the internet longer than I have, so if you go to her site, you're going to be able to search in there for all kinds of fun, exciting articles on the superfood topic. I also recommend, this is something we didn't mention yet, and it is really hand in glove with superfoods, and that is spring water. Spring water is in the same category of superfoods. Filtered water, even filtered water from one of those $3,000 Kangen water machines, it's not the same as spring water. Spring water has the magic in it. It has hydrogen. It has monatomic minerals. And you can't put that stuff in tap water through a filter. So if you go to findaspring.com, hopefully you'll be able to find a spring nearby you. There's a lot of springs on there, and it's only going to grow. Sometimes you have to drive 10 minutes. Sometimes you have to drive an hour. But hopefully you'll be able to find one that's local to you. Or you can just start asking your local people around you, around your neighborhood, around your county. Definitely ask the people who are over 50 years of age, because especially if they've lived there a while, they'll probably know where the springs are, or where the springs used to be, because a lot of them have been shut down by municipal districts. But then you'll just start to piece it together, and then you'll be able to find really good local spring water. Of course, there's the new book by David Wolf called Superfoods, The Food and Medicine of the Future. That book is definitely like your Superfoods 101 book. Also, just search for superfoods on YouTube and start piecing together who's making sense to you and who is not. Because if you start Googling or YouTubing superfoods, you're going to find some people who are like awesome. You're going to find some people who are kind of probably not trustworthy. And you're going to find some people who are like, I don't know, are they right on? Are they off a little bit? And it's just good to start familiarizing yourself with all that so that you can be the discerning person on the issues and really base your experience or your knowledge on experience and results rather than on a lot of heady information.
Thank you. Now, you have an ebook coming out. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we have an ebook coming out, and if people are listening to it, it might already be out for you. It's going to be called Superfood Beauty Elixirs, and it is basically a complete program, not just an ebook, but it's also going to have audio and a lot of different things in it that's going to be not only giving you a huge glossary and basic information on about superfoods, on how to incorporate superfoods into your diet, exactly what superfoods are the ones to add in, and exactly what they are about. It's also going to give you detailed recipes. We're going to have about 25 recipes that you can do immediately once you get the superfoods. A lot of them are available in the natural food store. And that's really what I feel my niche is in terms of how to educate people and how to deliver services to people or products to people, is to not only give people general information, inspiring information, but also the details. So we have the general information about superfoods, and then we have the detailed recipes or the detailed end products, like my Wild Bar, which is a superfood energy bar, which has cacao and blue green algae and maca and hemp seeds in it, and it just tastes like a fudge bar, but is completely nutritious. That's really what I like to give people, is like that full spectrum, because I think that's what people want, is they want the general stuff and the detailed stuff so that they can immediately, without too big of a learning curve, incorporate nutrition, the right nutrition, into their lifestyle.
So where can our listeners find out more about your ebook if they're interested in it?
Keep up with ChristianBates.com and EdibleGoddess.com, because my girlfriend Beth Ann and I, we're doing it together. So just go to those websites, and we'll be unveiling it very soon.
Excellent. I am definitely excited to see that when it comes out. Now, one last question before we wrap this up. Are superfoods expensive or hard to find? Where's the best place to get a hold of quality superfoods?
Well, superfoods and everything in life will have the free stuff, the medium affordable stuff, and the stuff that comes at a cost. And so you might even, some people kind of get bogged down like, oh, superfoods are often pricey, so I'm going to skip superfoods and only eat store-bought produce. that's generally not a good idea. The fact is that you deserve it. There's already a millionaire billionaire within you. The abundance should come to you. And the abundance of nutrition, you definitely deserve. We all need to have this self-esteem around nutrition. That's really important. In fact, some people say self-esteem is the number one most important thing for anything, for business, for nutrition, for any successes, for any prosperity. You got to have that self-esteem. You got to know that you deserve this. And you also have to be willing to pay for something. Now, on one hand, you could buy, find aloe vera that's just growing all around town. Harvest that for free. Boom, you have free superfoods. Some superfoods are not more expensive than any other non-superfood. For example, instead of eating like some, I don't know, nut and seed that's not so super, you start eating, you know, Brazil nuts, and it's like the same price as some other nut and seed item you were getting in terms of like price per pound. And then, of course, there's the more expensive stuff. If you're paying more of an end retail price, yeah, some stuff's going to be a higher cost. I mean, if you get a bottle of marine phytoplankton, it's going to be, you know, $40, $50, $60. But you know what? That is so worth it. It is so worth it. In fact, I always, you know, it's so good to be attracting lots of money, always having lots of money, but, you know, it'd be better to have nutrition and be in debt than not be in debt and be in ill health. I mean, it's like pay now or pay more later. That's the big saying that's going on. David Wolf coined that. I got to give him credit on that one. That one's really good. It's not just pay now or pay later. It's pay now or pay more later. So superfoods are really stacking the odds in our favor in terms of being a health insurance for ourselves so that we're only going to get healthier. We're only going to rebuild our tissues and not have to deal with the health insurance, the hospitals, and having to, like, cram and do some health treatment that we really didn't have to do because we could have had a much more preventative protocol.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. And it's not just the physical health, but like you were saying before, once you incorporate superfoods into your regular diet, it also unlocks the genius within you. So your physical health is going to be better, but also your emotional and mental health, your creativity, all of that stuff is going to improve, which is going to, you know, improve how much money you can make, which is going to improve how much money you can spend on superfoods. So it's kind of like a really awesome cycle of improving your body and improving your mind, which improves your circumstances. What do you use for a source of your superfoods? Where do you buy your superfoods?
I use a few sources. I like Ultimate Superfoods. I like Sun Food. And all of these have .com at the end. Let's see, what else? I like the MSM, which is not really a superfood, but is in the superfood category or the herbological mineral category. Omika Organics has the best MSM because it's an MSM that comes from timber and not from petroleum. And I recommend Health Force Nutritionals. They have a lot of great formulas. So from Health Force, you're not necessarily buying one superfood, but you're buying a blend of superfoods that is blended with a lot of cofactors. Therefore, it's a very synergizing blend, so you're going to get a lot more out of it compared to just eating, say, oh, I don't know, dandelion by itself. Not so much a superfood dandelion, but it's like a wild herb. It does have that virility compared to buying vitamin or green, which is going to give you dandelion plus all these other greens, and it's going to have that rejuvenating superfood type effect.
Okay, so Christian, you're the co-creator of the Wild Bar. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, Wild Bar is my baby, as well as the baby of my friend Yogi Susie, as well as the baby of our company, Ancient Sun Nutrition. And it's been out for, well, we started it in 2005, and it's been out for 4 years now. It is a superfood meal replacement bar, and it has a lot of the top superfoods in it. So if you want to just go straight to something that has that nutrition density, and tastes really good. It's very appealing. Go for the wild bar because it's got the raw cacao, it's got the blue-green algae, it's got macadamia nuts, which are not a superfood, but they are in that quality raw food category. And we got hemp seeds, which are a complete protein and a complete essential fatty acid source. It's very, very balancing. There's not too many short chain omega-3 fatty acids, and there's not too little. Like when we come from a standard American diet, we have this omega-6 fatty acid ODing effect, which basically wreaks havoc in our body, causes a lot of inflammation. But when we have hemp seeds, you got a little bit of that omega-3, you're going to have that anti-inflammatory type of an effect. When you combine raw chocolate and blue-green algae, which both have PEA, which is the love chemical, then you have a real mood-lifting bar, real energizing bar, and that's what Kick-Ass seeks to be. It seeks to be something that is really delicious, mood-lifting, immunomodulatory, because blue-green algae has those polysaccharides, and as well as something that's not too caloric because it has a lot of fiber in it just from the cacao and the inulin content of agave, and something that just gives you that mega dose of rejuvenation.
Awesome. Now, where can our listeners pick up some wild bars?
Well, you can always order them online from wildbar.info. Wild Bar has gone national. We're in maybe half of the Whole Foods out there, and we're in many of the natural food stores out there. If you go to a natural health food store and you look in the raw food section or sometimes in the bar section and don't find Wild Bar, definitely ask them to carry it. And then if you do order online, we do have discounts for buying in bulk.
Excellent. I am totally excited to try a Wild Bar. Thank you. This has been such valuable information. I totally appreciate you doing this interview. And I just would like to encourage all the listeners to check out christianbates.com and see what other fabulous information he has for you on the website.